The following program is intended for mature audiences.
Gentlemen, let's get down to business.
Can you dig it?
Gentlemen, welcome to the queue. My name, of course, is Mark Land, and my video is completely off. I'm way low. Like, I should be higher. Never mind. It doesn't really matter. On tonight's show,
there's no reason to sit in a box and make yourself look taller.
That's
okay?
That's a good point.
Just because Johnny Carson did it doesn't mean that you can.
All right. On tonight's show, we're joined by one Travis, the conservative. Boom, 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 boom. Cook.
That is America's evil genius, Travis yes. Cook.
Evidently, there is a guy running a porn website that doesn't care if you kill yourself. I'm going to explain that.
Please, I was not aware of that.
I'm going to explain it. Don't worry.
I'm glad you're here to update us on all the happenings of the online pornography industry, because I know you follow that quite closely.
That's right. Also, of course, we have some listener emails, so we're going to have that at the end of the show. But you are watching the queue. It's time to get your fix. This is Real Radio, Real Honest. And... it's usually uncensored on Wednesday nights. We might be a little uncensored tonight. We might not be. It just depends on how we're feeling. We'll feel it out as we go on. What have you been up to, huh? Other than getting your butt lambasted by me on four independent debates that we did together.
I don't recall getting lambasted.
You got whooped.
But you did come on. You did come on the America's
Smacked
Evil Genius
on that
show. I'm trying to give you a plug here if you don't mind. You did come on the America's Evil Genius show. We did tape four episodes of our Picking a Liberal's Brain series, which Mark Bland was a part of. Uh-huh. Three of those have been released to this point. You can find them on my YouTube page,
www.youtube.com.
I'm trying to give you some props here, okay?
Sounds like a plug for you. That's all I'm saying.
It's a plug for me, and you happen to be there. YouTube.com/America's Evil Genius. You can see my whole page here, all of my archives, and those shows are in it. The fourth show will be coming up probably, I'd say Monday, I think we'll be releasing that, okay. Is what we're looking at right now.
Of course, you're watching this on the iWatchRadio.com network. Keep that in the back of your heads at all times because we love these guys. Beyond that, one thing I want to hit on before we get into everything real deep today is the fact that I got an email over the weekend from somebody that said, you know, Mark, I like your show. I think it's very entertaining. No, I get a lot of emails. Okay. Thousands over the year. 10 years. 100 a year.
How many of them have the word Viagra in the subject line?
Quite a few, actually. I got an email over the weekend. The person said, I love your show. I wish I would have brought the email. I just completely forgot about it. But I wanted to kind of address it live on the show. I love your show, but your show tends to run a very controversial line. And I don't know if that is the best move for you when discussing the topics that you discuss, because you're not totally politics, you're not totally religion, you're not totally current events, you're not totally entertainment. My answer to you is simple. My show is all of those things. A little entertainment, a little politics, a little religion, a little current events, whereas the America's Evil Genius over here tends to deal with evil America genius stuff. Obviously, like politics.
Evil America genius stuff?
Yes.
I do deal with politics and cultural issues. I don't know that we would call that evil America genius stuff. Okay. But nevertheless, I think to address your point there, I think when you're on radio, television, the media in any way, shape, or form, the best way to be successful is to basically be yourself. Because I've found this out through the wrestling business and through other forms of entertainment that I've been involved in. Perhaps you can back me up on this. When you go out there and try to be something you're not, when you try to fit some sort of a format or pigeonhole yourself in a way that just doesn't fit you, people are going to see through it immediately, and you are not going to be successful.
That's true. I would agree that at a certain point, you have to just be yourself a little bit. You have no choice. And I'm not necessarily a controversial figure, but I will be the first to say, and I'm sure Travis will agree with this, I tend to have controversy follow me. I'm not, by virtue of what I do and say, controversial. I just have an opinion, and some people don't like that opinion. I think it's the tone that I use and the way I come across that tends to make people a little bit more animated in their disgust or disagreement with me in general.
Controversy and restraining orders tend to follow you from it.
Well, no restraining orders, but controversy does create cash. Would you agree?
The occasional paternity suit. It certainly can. Controversy certainly can create cash. And you know, I've done, I'm not going to say a similar
you are just
thing.
Talking.
Well, you invited me on here to talk. I'm going to talk.
Good point.
But nevertheless, I've always had a somewhat similar attitude in that I don't. We are not smacking any asses here. That save that for your online porn segment,
the
if
debates,
you don't mind.
The debates.
But nevertheless, I don't, in what I do, I don't go around trying to be controversial, using the air quotes there. But nevertheless, I will say what I
you
what
do
I believe.
Two more times, I won't trust you no more.
Nevertheless, I will say what's on my mind and what I believe, and I really don't mind if people get upset about it or whatnot. So,
well, of course, I mean, but you're
that it is what it is.
I think the thing is for me is very simple. My show does tend to go down a controversial spot, and you know what? I have a nice sized following of fans and people who listen to the show on a weekly and daily basis that love that aspect. We don't have that very much here in the Midwest. You know, you see the Howard Sterns of the East Coast. You know, you get some of the interesting personalities that eventually divulge themselves from the West Coast. But you know, and usually you only get it in politics. There hasn't been, and I'm not trying to be Howard Stern, but there hasn't been somebody down the mainstream who deals with a little bit of everything that tends to go down the controversial, you know, this is not a morning show, okay? If you want to call in right now, 314-714-4200. That number again is 314-714-4200. Call in right now. Bring up a topic, no matter how controversial it is. You want to talk about abortion? You want to talk about death panels? Whatever you want to talk about, we will talk about on this show, and I'll give you my honest-to-God opinion.
Wait,
problem with that.
Wait, this is not a morning show?
This is not a morning show.
You mean we're not going to go to traffic with Officer Bob in the next segment?
Well, no. First off, that would be Katie Kitten in the mornings.
Katie Kitten in the mornings.
Katie
yeah.
Kitten in the mornings, and
wonder how
we're
she got that
over to
name.
Katie Kittens. Oh, there's Frogger over there. Bass Crack and Ass Scratch, or whatever their names are.
What?
It's just got weird names.
Is that a morning team in Omaha or something?
It probably is. Honestly, they come up with some of the stupidest names and right. Like, do you know how many? Not to go on to the ladies and gentlemen, there is an entire side.
We never go on tangents on this.
There is
show.
An entire side to the radio and media entertainment industry called consulting.
Oh, geez.
Now, there
right.
is consulting. There is consulting, and everybody knows what a consultant is. But when radio consultants get involved, and I'm not against any radio consultants. Hey, you know, there's some really good ones out there that know what they're doing. Many times, though, they'll bring them in, especially when they did the PPM switchover a few years ago. They bring in these consultants who are supposed to have their finger on the pulse of what's hip and what's going on in this world. And so they are trying to change up the ideas. Now, they'll literally consult 30 different radio stations, 30 different morning teams or afternoon guys or whatever, and they will give them all the exact same, like, template from top to bottom.
That is true.
You need to change your name to something with an animal here. He needs to be the groundhog, and you need to be Kitty Kitten. The groundhog and Kitty Kittens in the morning. You know what I'm saying? You got to do that, okay? You got to be wacky, all right? Everything's got to be super popped up and whoop, 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 whoop. No. No. I give it to you straight. This show is meant for smart people. If you're dumb, if you're a moron, if you're an idiot, if you're an IQ of less than 30 or a box of rocks, either one, because you might not be smart enough to understand numbers like 30. So if you see a box of rocks physically and you don't think you're as smart as it and don't understand a box of rocks, then you're probably falling into this category. Don't watch my show.
Oh, you're never going to go on in Chicago then.
Ooh. Turn the channel right now.
You just killed off any chance you had of getting the Chicago market.
I keep making moves up the ladder. I got iWatch Radio doing this thing right here. We got 2 hours on the weekend at WestPlexNewsTalk.com. 2 hours. 1 hour here. Before you know it, I'm going to be on 5 hours a day, every single day, nationwide at 4,000 stations. That's the plan. That's where we're going. But you can't be stupid. Because if you're dumb, I'm just not going to allow you to listen to my show. Like, I'm going to find a way. Like, do you remember?
You are not using this for an air check tape, are you?
Okay. I'm trying to.
Oh, jeez.
Did you ever see the end of the movie Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back?
No, I did not.
Did you ever see that movie at all?
I don't believe I did. Okay. I might have passed through it on
cable. At the end of the movie, They decide to do, spoiler for you, but it's not a big deal, because it's one of those little things after the movie's finally over kind of thing. They decide to do this thing where all the people that talk crap about them as they become famous on like a list, you know, from like these message boards, they take their messages that were all negative and they go and find the people's addresses, show up at their house and knock on the door. And then they go, "Are you so-and-so 69? And the person goes, "Yeah." And they're like, "Did you say this about like just completely disrespectful things?" And the kid goes, "Yeah." And then he hauls off and knocks him out. Like, just that's exactly what's going to happen with my show.
That's not a lawsuit waiting to happen.
That's what's going to happen with my show. If you're stupid, I'm going to find out. I'm going to get a list. And I'm going to send people to come find you and smack you in the back of the head. Period.
It's Mafia in the Morning on the Mark Bland Morning Show. Yes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I got a double chin. Screw you. Screw you.
Oh, boy.
Don't care. All right. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a quick break here on The Queue, Uncensored. And when we come back, we're going to get into this whole, the new cyborg glasses that Google came out with, as well as this porn situation. It's not so much a porn site, you'll understand.
Oh, no, no.
But we'll be back on The
Queue. You would never report on a porn site.
Yeah, we'll be back on The Queue right after this. Welcome back to The Queue. Of course, Mark Bland joined by Travis Cook tonight. And hey, let's talk a little bit about this whole Google's new cyborg glasses. Have you heard about them?
I have not heard about the Google cyber glasses.
We have seen dystopian tech since 2000 because, of course, everything that was associated with the millennium was a big deal.
Dystopian?
Yeah, dystopian.
Is that near Cleveland?
No, I said dystopian. Oh. You said dystopian because you're disenfranchised. Because you're sitting next to greatness and you realize that.
Where?
Phones
that
track. There's
a wall over there.
Are you done?
I'm done.
Okay. Phones that track and record your every movement, drones that stalk and kill people, and an enormous database of your feelings ruthlessly exploited for commercial purposes. But the Google goggles unveiled today take a creepy tech to the next level.
The
creepy
Google tech. Goggles.
Yes. Sure, the device is described today by the New York Times Bit blog. Sounds like a gadget lover's wet dream. A prototype version looks far nerdier than any Bluetooth earpiece, but stream information to the lenses and allow the wearer to send and receive messages through voice commands. There's also a built-in camera to record videos and take pictures, so the company, already infamous for how much data it has collected on each of us, has now aggressively begun to leverage that data, and it will be in a position to literally know not only where you are, but everything you're looking at constantly.
Okay, so these Google goggles.
It's almost like an, what do they call that? Whatever reality.
Virtual reality.
It's like virtual reality, but it's not virtual reality.
Okay. Let me clarify something here. So these Google goggles,
yes.
Which they'll probably sell millions of them just on that name alone.
Okay.
These Google goggles.
And they're not Google beer goggles.
I've seen a few beer goggles in Google, but nevertheless.
You've probably seen a lot of beer goggles with the women that talk to you.
We are in St. Louis. But nevertheless, the Google goggles can, what, project like a computer screen in front of your eyes?
I don't know if it's necessarily that. I think it's more of like whatever you see through the goggles, like little bits of data, almost like Terminator.
Okay.
And the idea like little information pops in.
So you've got these goggles on.
These glasses or whatever.
And these are going to somehow transmit information about where you are, what you're seeing, and you can give voice commands and so forth.
Well, let me finish.
And you know, well, you know that these techie people are going to just buy these up.
Right.
Okay. Do you realize how creepy Star Trek conventions are going to be from here on out?
Do you
realize
how much
more creepy they're going to be?
GOP conventions are going to be after this.
Are you kidding? We wouldn't buy that.
Wow.
Our help would buy that.
Good point. Thank you. The Google video that they put out today touts the potential applications of the devices. Some sound, admittedly, pretty cool. But and I did watch the video. But already, just in the promo reel, there are signs of annoying technological intrusions, email or IM pop-ups in the user's face during a meal.
Oh, jeez.
Friends track one another's physical location down to the nearest foot. And even more than that, than a phone, these devices create a stream of information about your private moments with a video camera and microphone constantly pointed everywhere you're looking.
So basically, we could refer to this as Google Stalk.
Yes, Google Stalk. That could be a very marketable name.
Oh, yeah, I think it could be.
Google seems to have anticipated these objections.
They deal with them all the time anyway.
People who this gentleman from the New York Times, Nick Bilton, has spoken with, says, some of the people I've spoken with who have seen Project Glass, that's what they're calling it.
Project Glass.
There is a misconception that the glasses will interfere with the people's daily life too much, constantly streaming information to them and distracting them from the real world. But these people say the glasses actually free people up from technology. One person who has used the glasses said, they let the technology get out of your way. If I want to take a picture, I don't have to reach into my pocket to take out my phone. I just press the button at the top of the glasses, and that is it. Now, that would be an interesting
thing. Because reaching into my pocket is such an inconvenience.
Could be.
Yeah. I can't make time in my schedule to reach in my pocket and pull out a camera or a phone or whatever. I mean, I'm sure people will go for this. Personally, I don't
more.
See the...
I got more here.
There's more?
There's more. In other words, technology is something akin to the violence. If it's not working for you, you're not using enough of it. Still, it's always possible Google's vision of techno-utopia can be tempered a bit, perhaps with some extreme privacy controls, a la Facebook.
Because those privacy controls always work.
Of course. The company is, as of an hour ago, soliciting feedback on its new devices. Because everyone has the Google Goggles, Project Glass, or as you like to call them, Google Stalk.
Google Stalk, yeah.
I like Google Stalk. Google Stalk sounds like a very entertaining name.
I'll sell you the name for $3 million, Google.
Amazing that somebody who's Republican would come up with the word stalk in their vocabulary so quickly.
Hey, for $3 million, I'll come up with whatever words they want.
So let's talk about the crappiness of conservatives and why they still suck.
Okay, there's an open-ended talk. Are you auditioning for a show on MSNBC? Okay.
I'm not. No. I just want to know. Okay, Mitt Romney.
I could swear that was a segment on the Ed Schultz show.
Let's move into Mitt Romney. We heard recently.
Could you care to rephrase that?
No, I said, no, let's not slip it to Mitt Romney. I said, let's move into the topic of Mitt Romney.
Oh, boy. I can see where this is going.
Slide the sausage. Okay. Mitt Romney won a few more primaries the other day.
He won three of them last night.
We're not going to date ourselves by saying things like last night. We're just going to say recently.
No, don't worry. Nobody's going to date you anyway.
Married. Poor guy. He tries so hard.
Mail order brides actually do come through.
There's a reason they made Bud Light Platinum. They need more alcohol for the women who are going to look at this guy. That's all I'm saying.
Actually, you know, not to go off topic, I did try Bud Light Platinum.
And?
It tastes exactly like Bud Light, except it's in a blue bottle.
Yep.
Yeah.
And the girls get drunker faster, which means they'll actually listen to what you got to say.
Hey, I'm good with that.
I know. All right, Mitt Romney. Few more states under his belt.
Mm-hmm.
It's looking like this guy might be able to cinch this up here in the next few weeks and be done. Honestly, I mean,
there's more
primaries that have to happen, but still, I think it's pretty close.
Yeah, I'm not happy to say that, but I have to admit that he's very close at this point.
Now, question for you.
Okay.
I recently talked on my show with another individual who's in here, and I think we might have even kind of hit on it ourselves here.
Okay.
Once your guy doesn't get in, because you are a self-promoted Rick Santorum guy.
I am a Santorum guy.
And you do like Ron Paul to an extent.
Parts of Ron, there's parts of Ron Paul I like, parts of Ron Paul that scare me to death.
With neither of those guys getting in, and I know that you're not the biggest Romney fan, but you're not necessarily against completely Romney.
It's closer to against than fan, but
okay. Fair enough. You have two choices come November then. Because it's either you choose Barack Obama or you choose Mitt Romney. Now, you, not being a fan necessarily of Mitt Romney, but he literally is going to be speaking on behalf of the conservative base in this country as far as the ticket goes. Where do you stand? Are you one of those guys who's just going to pony up and put your vote behind Mitt Romney? Are you one of those guys who is going to step to the thing and be like, no, I'm just not going to vote because my guy didn't get in there? Or are you going to do a write-in?
Well, here's my tentative plan at this point.
Fair enough.
There's a lot of things still to happen, but here's where I'm standing right now.
Yes.
You are correct, first of all, that I am not a Mitt Romney fan. I've been against him the whole time he's been running.
He's fantastic.
I have been the chief executive of the Anyone But Mitt camp, okay?
Okay. Is that an actual club? Do you have a Facebook page?
We can get one. However,
do you have a website?
I certainly am even more against Barack Obama than I am Mitt Romney.
Okay.
Now, I am not willing at this point, as a card-carrying conservative,
okay,
I am not willing to say that I'm willing to throw my support behind Mitt Romney just yet.
Okay.
Now, I understand that
we know by November that will change because you're scared.
Not because I'm scared, but hear me out.
Frightened.
What I am looking for before...
Child.
Can I answer a serious political question?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
What I am looking for between now and November, and where I think Romney is going to go, is I, as a conservative, am looking for some more assurances from him that he will continue to run further and further to the right. He's already started this process during the primary. He's ran much further to the right than I think he ever really wanted to go. But I just want to know, and I want to have assurances from him, that he knows the conservatives are the ones that are in power, so he will essentially do our bidding.
If you don't get that.
If I don't get that, then I'm looking for a couple things. I'm looking to see, first of all, if some sort of a conservative will come out as a third-party candidate or something like that. It's not looking like that will be the case right now.
What if he grabs a Rick Santorum to run as his VP?
And that's the second thing I was going to mention. One of the biggest ways he could do this is with the VP slot. He could use that
VP
slot.
But Joe Biden hasn't really done nothing for Barack, literally, because Joe Biden and most VPs, they really don't serve much of a purpose other than face value.
Oh, this is true. But in terms of the ticket and in terms of their influence on the campaign platform, which, let's face it, that's about all a VP ever does anyway.
True.
In terms of that, if he were to select a Rick Santorum, who I doubt he'll select, but I'd love that.
Of course not. Or Sarah Palin, because she's on Today Show.
He's not going to take a Sarah Palin, I'm pretty sure, though I'd love that.
Everybody loves morning hosts.
But a Rick Santorum or a Paul Ryan, who really has emerged lately as a VP candidate. Mm-hmm. That's the scuttlebutt going around. If one of those two gets...
Scuttlebutt, that's a word you'd never use.
It's another word for gossip.
If you had a penis...
How did we go from Mitt Romney to genitalia? Never mind! Anyhow, a Rick Santorum, a Paul Ryan, someone of that nature,
yes,
would be very pleasing to us conservatives. I could get behind Mitt Romney at that point.
Of course you could, but then it doesn't really matter because Mitt's doing the thing that you don't like in the first place because the VP means nothing. That's my point. It's still Mitt Romney's game. And therefore, you're just willing to sell yourself as short as you can at all times just to make sure that there is a conservative vote on a conservative side. And I get that. I respect that.
Well,
Be a man about it and just say that.
What are my other alternatives in that scenario?
Oh, you'll never have alternatives. See, that's the point. With liberals, and I'm a moderate who just tends to lean liberal, with liberals, don't argue about stupid crap like this all that much. We don't really care who's running on behalf of the Liberal Party because, in most cases, it's a person who thinks about things before they do them. They literally try to accommodate and to, like, be, like, how many times?
Actually, wasn't the entire Obama-Hillary primary about that very question?
What's that?
About what the direction of the Democratic Party would be?
I don't think so.
Hillary a little bit more to the center, Barack a little bit more to the left?
I don't think so. I think that when it came right down to it, it was, I'm Hillary Clinton, I was the former president's wife for 8 years while he was in office, and you need to just take it for what it's worth. I have the credibility, I'm the Newt Gingrich, I have the credibility draped behind me. And you shouldn't let this upstart beat me out. That's literally what it came down to. There was not much difference, and that's why Barack immediately, Secretary of State, I'm going to send you around the world to represent us face to face. Like, I could have gotten a lot of other people and put them in that spot, but I'm going to send you out there and let you represent us face to face because we think on the same plane. And if you're in Iraq, Iran, wherever the hell you're at, representing the United States, you're speaking on behalf of me and my beliefs and everybody that we govern over.
And so, also, thinking from Obama's position there as well, if I have you, Hillary, outside the country representing us and so forth, you can't cause trouble for me within my own party in this country.
Is that what you really think?
Yeah.
You really believe that?
Yeah, to a degree.
Why?
And I can't blame him for doing it. I'm not saying that's
a bad... You can create controversy, as we talked about earlier, or you can create problems even when you're out of the country. You have players in your camp that could be doing the bidding for you. Like... It's bullcrap. See, you can just look back at the last 4 years of Hillary doing her job with Barack Obama,
yeah,
and you can see that she hasn't done anything to try to jeopardize her the campaign of Barack Obama.
Exactly. She's had a nice, high visibility position.
But that's my
point. She's had a lot on her plate, so she hasn't had time to cause
any trouble. No. You said
smart move.
She had visibility before. She was in those positions before. That's my point. You see, you want to say it when it. That's my problem with conservatives. You want to say it when it applies to what you want to say. But then when you have the proof sitting there in your face, she had high visibility before the presidential election.
Which is
she had high visibility before Secretary of State.
Which is why she would have been a danger.
And she was still doing what you technically said, trying to create dissension when they were running against each other. No, that's my point. She wasn't doing it before and she's not doing it now.
If she wasn't doing it before, she wouldn't have run against him. Now, I'm not saying that she wasn't qualified or from Obama's perspective was a bad choice or anything like that. I don't think she was a good choice, but that's because I completely disagree with her. But nevertheless, I think that the issue was, as you say, she had tremendous visibility far before that election. She was a player in the Democratic scene, or as the kids would say, a playa in the Democratic scene.
Were.
So she's a playa in the Democratic scene. She could, if things went bad for Obama, potentially cause trouble. No guarantee that she would. So if you have her in another high-profile position with a lot of responsibility, where, let's face it, she's out of the country and she sort of has to represent you, you drastically reduce the risk that she provides.
That's great. That's fantastic.
It's politics. I mean, you know what they say.
Keep your friends close, but the first words out of your mouth were, yeah, exactly. Your first words out of your mouth were, she's an enemy.
Hey, I'll guarantee you something. If Mitt Romney were to win the presidency, all these guys he's talked trash about on the Republican side through an even longer and more arduous primary than the Democrats have.
Yep.
I guarantee you that almost all of them will serve some role of some kind in the Romney administration.
Possibly.
At least one of them will probably get a cabinet post. You know, I heard someone make a suggestion today that I thought made a lot of sense. Rick Santorum for Attorney General. I think that'd be a great idea.
Maybe.
Let's put Ron Paul in charge of the Fed. Boy, would that be funny.
Oh, but, that would be hilarious, actually.
But really, it would. But you can see Romney throwing those bones of those people, first of all, so that they don't, whiz in his cornflakes during his presidency and don't come up as a primary challenger in 2016. And then secondly, so those, you know, the group of people that are around those folks.
Well, if he were president of the United States, he'd be an incumbent, so he wouldn't have any challengers.
Actually, you can have challengers as an incumbent.
Nope. Never.
Yeah, you can.
Hadn't happened. Hasn't happened recently at all.
1980?
Hasn't happened.
1980, Ted Kennedy challenged Jimmy Carter. 1976, Ronald Reagan challenged Gerald Ford. Now, I'm not saying they're ever successful.
Oh, yeah.
But they do happen.
It doesn't happen very often. Most of the
not
time,
not very often, but it does happen.
Most of the time, the incumbent is the guy who ends up respectfully
usually
showing out.
But if
for
there's
his own
dissension
party,
in the ranks, it can happen. Party. And we have two very recent situations where it did.
All right. On a California college campus, the pepper spray flows as free as Napa Valley Cabernet Sauvignon.
Oh, what were they protesting this time?
There was disturbing video of a police pepper spraying students.
Disturbing video from California? I'm shocked.
Okay, calm down for a second. Let me get through the story for once. Here's a disturbing video of police pepper spraying students at a Santa Monica college last night. 150 students, including a four-year-old, because they're very useful.
Yeah, the four-year-old's on a college campus.
Had assembled at a Board of Trustees meeting to protest tuition hikes. It seems that the pepper spray was used simply because the room got too crowded and the situation got out of hand. Taken with the UC Davis casual pepper spray incident last fall and the increasing rumblings of impending intra-generational war between the youngs and the olds, as we talked about recently, it would be a good idea for the California college bookstores to start stocking gas masks. I got a problem with this.
The gas mask?
No,
or the pepper
stop.
Spray?
Here, listen to me out and stop interrupting, because I love you. Good guy. Evil genius, right here. He's evil, not a genius.
And I am a genius.
Not really. You might be evil, and you might be a genius, but you're not an evil
genius. Go on. What's your problem with Californian pepper spray?
No, I'm just getting sick of this, okay? If you, like, the situation last fall is one thing. The people are peacefully protesting outside in a quad area, you know. That's the one where the cop comes walking by and just sprays them in order.
After telling them to move, which they didn't move.
Yeah, that's my point exactly. When a police officer tells you, don't follow the black kid in the hoodie. Stop doing that. Because
connection here. Okay, go
his
ahead.
Skittles and his Arizona iced tea don't matter. Just stop following him. Get off of our campus. You're not supposed to be here. I'm a cop. Don't do this. Here we are at a Board of Trustees meeting. Normally they would be trying to do business, but you are creating a problem for everyone. Stop doing that, because I'm a police officer. Stop creating unrest and a disturbance. All these things would go away. Trayvon would be a dead black gentleman who was carrying Skittles. The kids in UC Davis would have not got 30 pounds of pepper spray in their eyes. And a four-year-old wouldn't have gotten pepper sprayed last night or the other day.
I think if
that's simple.
If I can make this a little more succinct. And if I understood your ranting there, you and I might be on...
I don't think it was a rant. I think it was just an honest-to-God plea to stupid people to stop being stupid.
I think you and I might be on a somewhat similar plane here. Basically, what you're saying...
Well, you love armies and navies and carrying on and killing people.
What you're saying is this. If a police officer tells you to move...
Yes.
It's a pretty good idea to move.
Yeah.
You might want to move along.
That's what I just did. Okay. I said, I started yelling about it. Because you know about the Trayvon Martin thing. And then
I've heard a lot of things about
the police dispatcher on the phone asked him if he was following Trayvon. He said, yes, I am. She goes, well, you need to stop doing that. That was her specific order. Like, you need to not do that. Therefore, the potential of what eventually happened probably wouldn't have happened. If you just listen to the people who are in control of the situations, when you're at a caucus and they tell you to turn off all of your recording devices and your cameras and all your crap, and you decide to throw a hissy fit and get into riot gear, and then the police come by and say, sir, I'm going to need you to turn that off. Turn the camera off. Therefore, the caucus happens. Rick Santorum ends up getting his shot the way he deserves it, according to our friend Travis here, or Mitt Romney does, or whoever, and everything moves on in a normal adult-like fashion. In all of these cases, an authority figure tells you to do something, and then you specifically go out of your way, whether it's one person or many people, to not do the thing that you were simply asked to do. And they're all simple things. None of these things are hard to understand at all. Would you agree?
To a large extent, I would agree. Yes. I think where we've gotten to in our society, and it's happened over a couple of generations now, two or three generations.
You know what you're talking about, but go ahead.
Well, let me explain what I'm talking about, and then you can judge it, all right?
Four debates to prove that.
Okay, now, I think where we've gotten to a lot of times is we have a couple of generations now that think that if I don't like a law or if I don't like a rule, then the fact that I don't like it or I think it's, air quotes, stupid, gives me the legal right to break that law, disobey that order, etc.
I would agree.
Bull cookies.
Oh. Did you use the bull cookies? You said bull cookies?
Hey, you said we're uncensored tonight.
Oh.
Bull cookies, bull cookies, bull cookies.
Ball sacks.
I was not talking about those. But nevertheless,
sorry.
If you do have a legitimate issue with a law, rule, whatever, there are ways in this society that you can approach that you can try to have it changed and so forth. Let's work within the system. That's all most of us are asking.
Let's treat this like Legally Blonde Part 2. Let's work within the system, not against it. That's all I'm saying. We're going to take a quick break here on theCUBE. When we come back...
Can someone find me a hot blonde lawyer?
We're going to find you...
Please?
We're going to find you something. At least a 2 on a scale of 1 to 10. We'll be back on theCUBE right after this. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to theCUBE. Of course, Mark Bland, Travis Cook, the genius of evil America.
And sexiest conservative on the planet.
Let's talk about that. What have you been talking about lately on your show? Anything interesting? Go ahead and
A lot of interesting things. First of all, my show, you can see it each and every week on YouTube.
Yeah, we know that. You already said that 12
America's
times.
Evil Genius.
Okay.
The last episode we did
was
entitled The Unconstitutional President.
I don't watch them, so you're going to have to...
Well,
like,
perhaps you should.
Should get me up to
Let me give you a tease. A tease, as they say in the business.
There's thousands of people watching this show right now and listening to this show nationally, whether they're listening or watching. You could potentially get some new listeners off of this.
And that's what I'm trying to do, if you'll let me do so.
Okay.
This week's episode, The Unconstitutional President.
Yes.
Deals with the potential of the Supreme Court potentially ruling Obamacare
and
as
Richard
unconstitutional.
Nixon.
There's no Richard Nixon references in this one, actually.
He was an unconstitutional president.
We're talking about Barack Obama here. Anyway, this show's
He's
topic,
a Republican.
Will you let me explain what the show's about?
He was.
Okay. The Unconstitutional President is about the Supreme Court potentially striking down Obamacare as unconstitutional.
Yes.
And I'm putting forth the idea that if they do so, that unconstitutional ruling can then be used by the GOP as a narrative which would guarantee Obama's defeat in November. You want to know how? Watch the show.
Okay, fair enough. Thank you very much for that little plug there. Also, don't forget to check out 4 debates. Between me and this gentleman right here, we talked about war, we talked about freedom, we talked about everything.
Greed,
fairness. All of it, fairness, everything. Like, you name it, we talked about it. There's 4 of them. We've already released 3 of them. Make sure you check out the Facebook page. I think I'm going to try to at least link them to my website so that people can see those. We've been having some difficulties with the website. I haven't even been able to update the shows properly.
But we're working on that. There's some glitches going on. Let's just put it
down. And in one of the shows, Mark Bland not only made a reference, but began an in-depth discussion about the great filmmaker Max Hardcore.
That's right, Max Hardcore, Porn Empire.
And you ought to know.
All right, speaking of porn.
Well, since we're in the neighborhood.
Do you know who the Village Voice is?
It's like a really liberal newspaper or a magazine out in the East Coast, right?
Basically, it's like the Riverfront Times of New York City.
Okay.
That's basically what it is. The Village Voice has an excellent cover story about a 26-year-old named Hunter Moore.
Creator
of the gross, not safe for work revenge porn site.
Is Anyone Up?
Yes. Which offers a venue for spurned lovers and hackers to dump people's private nude pictures, which he posts along with their full name and a screenshot of their Facebook profile. Somehow this guy has become more vile with every profile he posts.
Okay, so let me get this straight.
Yes.
So if you, and I'm not advocating.
What you were planning on doing this summer, this guy's already doing.
I was not planning on doing it. I'm kicking myself for having not thought of it first.
First off, let's be really
clear. How did I miss that idea?
Let's be clear with everyone out there. You, not an attractive man. Probably
what?
A very spurned person yourself.
I am gorgeous.
Who probably sits in front of a mirror taking pictures of your nude self, holding your erect, never mind. You,
no,
would probably be cannon fodder for this site. For at least 30 different girls that are way out of your league that you attempted to get a hold of. Would you agree with that?
There are no pictures of that nature of me anywhere on the internet or anywhere else.
You sent me two last week.
I am not Anthony Weiner, okay?
You sent me two last week.
I am not Anthony Weiner.
It's just you and me and that camera.
Let's say...
Trust me, I've had a heavy, heavy dose of reality of the game of there's no one else around. It's just my word versus yours lately. Trust me. Douchebags exist everywhere.
Okay, I have no clue what you're talking about. But to clarify what this is all about.
All right.
You're saying that, you know, Joe Blow out there.
Yes.
Okay,
Hunter
bad
Moore.
Choice. Bad
Moore.
Choice.
Hunter Moore.
Let's
he's Hunt Moore.
He has a girlfriend, breaks up with him, it was a bad breakup, whatever.
Bad breakup.
And if he has some pictures.
You want some more?
That has been,
you want some more?
That have been taken of her in... a compromised state, shall we say.
Probably roofied up.
There's that. He then posts these pictures on his website,
mm-hmm.
along with a Facebook profile,
yep.
and then matching up the person.
And it's not just him. There's other people, too. Like, there's, like, people that send in their pictures of people, and then the Facebook profile, and he just puts it on his site.
I, for one, am disgusted
yep.
and saddened by the depravity of such an activity. And I'm going to have to ask you once again to give me that website's name so I can further investigate this. I'm appalled.
Is anyone up?
I'm going to have to look into this and investigate it and make sure that nothing chicanerous is going on. Is anyone up.com?
Okay, now.
Right?
The point of the site is probably to be a little vile, let's be honest. Moore's angling for the role of Hugh Hefner for the Facebook age, only where Hefner is pissed off feminists and the religious right is in his day. Moore's approach is to offend anyone who believes in even a nominal right to privacy. See Anderson Cooper's barely veiled contempt when Moore was on his show recently. You could see that. A broad, relevant target and the enduring media fascination with Moore and his site proves his provocations are working quite well as a PR scheme. There have been a lot of profiles of Moore. This is like the fourth one this year that has been actually done about him.
And Moore, you're giving him airtime.
And I'm giving him airtime too. And this is a big show. This is no America's Evil Genius. It's like 40 times their schedule. Of
only because you've been doing it longer than mine.
And because Mark's more talented as a human being in general.
Wow, you call that talent. Okay. I'm in here saving your show. All right, go ahead.
Moore, who according to his profile in the Daily Beast, got started as a kind of male pseudo-escort, now has ambitions to leave a similarly large footprint on the culture as Hefner and Playboy is with Anyone Up.
Whoa, you just kind of glossed over it. A male pseudo-escort.
Probably somebody who was working with ladies and they would hire him out. Or maybe he danced at parties, I'm assuming. It's not that big of a deal.
Oh, well, it does put a different spin on this thing.
Just because you don't have
I just thought it was like some regular
to pull off putting on some pretty boy thong underwear and smacking it around some girl's house in her face. doesn't make him a bad person and you a good person.
I just refuse to work for dollar bills, that's all.
Got it. Hunter Moore is looking to create a brand of entertainment that is far outside the realm of online pornography. Hunter has thrown rager parties up and down both coasts, bringing his own flair of DJing and dubstep, as well as his infectious sense of good times.
And I'm sure it's the music that is bringing everybody to these parties.
There may be a point at which Moore's lucrative stuff-talking gets the best of him. He openly boasts to the Village Voice about ignoring DMCA takedown requests from his Anyone Up's unwilling subjects. You know what DMCA is, right?
I actually do not.
That is a governing thing of the internet that basically states that if a person feels that they are being misrepresented or being chastised or heinously portrayed in a negative fashion on the internet, that you can request that your stuff be taken down as the standard bearer of that information in general. So if there's a picture of you, you know it's your picture, and you're saying, please take my picture
down. I was not aware of the legalities of that.
But. Okay. Requests from any, ignoring DMCA, taking on requests from any is Anyone Up's unwilling subjects. And here's a quote from the Village Voice profile about whether Moore would care if somebody committed suicide after being humiliated on his site. This is why I brought this up.
Okay.
Very interesting. I do not want anyone to ever be hurt by my site physically, he says. I don't give a fuck about emotionally. Deal with it. Obviously, I get a ton of heat for it, but I'm going to sound like the most evil MRFer. Let's be real for a second. If somebody killed themselves over that, do you know how much money I'd make? At the end of the day, I do not want anyone to hurt themselves, but if they do, thank you for the money. Though many people, including Facebook, have sent him legal threats, Moore has yet to be sued, but as Forbes' Cashmere Hill pointed out recently, Moore could be held liable if a lawyer could prove that his Anyone Up exists simply for the purpose of privacy invasion and intentional infliction of emotional distress, which would fall under the DMCA rules. Statements like that above, along with the post that feature captions like, Kelsey is a little slut from Pittsburgh whose clit deserves some attention, might someday come back to bite Moore in the court. Now, I said all of those things because that's literally
a part of the
story. This guy sounds like he should be running for president of the United States on the side of the GOP.
What?
Because he doesn't care about people's personalities. He doesn't care about what goes on in their lives. He don't care if they die, but if those dollar bills keep a flowing, he doesn't mind if the people keep a hoeing.
Well, he obviously has
See
a
my point?
He obviously has a tremendous grasp on the King's English by the words
he
was
using. You can knock it down however you want to, but you know what? I see a lot, and I mean this, and this is why I brought this up with you here. I see a lot of similarities in the attitude and the aspect of him as I see with some of our more grand political GOP and conservative candidates. There is a very big, I don't give an F because all I care about is us. All we care about is we and what we're doing. Do you see my point?
No, I really don't. I think the interesting thing about this and where this guy is
we
way off the rail.
We don't care what happens to you as long as our money keeps flowing.
Well,
those wars keep happening and our money keeps flowing.
Where this guy is off the track.
Fair enough. I will agree that this dude is kind of off the track.
He is very off the track.
Which is why I have a problem with the GOP and the conservatives.
And here's
I already think they're off the track.
Here is where he's off the track as opposed to
And us. Now, finally, a conservative is realizing that the GOP
We've done nothing like what this guy's saying. Here's why. Because this guy's saying, okay, you know, I don't care if I get more money if you die or whatever else.
Right.
The thing he's overlooking.
What's he overlooking?
He is overlooking the legal aspect of this. Because I'll tell you, the way you described this, it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when this guy gets sued and gets found guilty. I mean, this guy is going to get nailed. He's going to get nailed hard.
Yeah, probably.
Now, as much as you
But he's
might,
not it, the only revenge side out there, I'm sure.
Oh, I'm sure he's not. I mean, it's the internet. Every good idea or every idea that makes a couple of dollars will be copied by 500 people
you
the next day.
You create the queue, you go out of your way to create America's Evil Genius.
Totally Simple. Different thing. But nevertheless, all of the screaming you can make at Republicans for wanting to make money, oh, that's just such a horrible thing to do.
Oh, no, it's not a horrible thing to do. It's just the way you go about it.
You know, for all
exactly.
all the, for
that's
all
their
the,
answer.
All that
that's
you can
it.
Say,
ladies and gentlemen, you just
you're
literally.
Missing, you're missing my point.
You for literally you just watched say, his reaction
we,
to me saying
we,
that.
Wait. We do not
they don't care.
We do not violate the law to do so.
Oh, yes, you do.
No, we don't.
Oh, they do too. Enron was a perfect example of a bunch of conservatives
that
violating
was
the law.
That was the Republican Party.
Oh, many of them were donors to the Republican Party, the conservative movement, and they did things illegally
Because it's not a blue-collar crime, it's a white-collar crime. It's a little bit easier to take. Because they don't go to a general pop lockup. They go to, like, the country club. It's okay then, right?
And those guys are all punished for their crimes.
Oh, yeah, they did go down.
But I don't think you can then take that as a broad brush and paint the rest of the Republicans.
When I said my comment, you said, who cares?
Because we're looking at something totally different.
Along the same vein.
About an illegal action. You were talking about an illegal action. The vast majority of not only Republicans, but business owners of all types in America make their money legally.
If you are out there right now, 314-714-4200, 314-714-4200, if you're a Republican and disagree with me, call in. If you are a Democrat or a moderate listening to the show and you disagree with him, call in right now. I'd love to put you right on the air immediately.
And when you make your money legally,
yes,
you are under no obligation,
of course not,
to consider, you know, the feelings of someone else. Now, a lot of people do, and that's fine. That's all well and good.
It's called,
but you're under
being
no
courteous.
Obligation to. You can be courteous if you
called
want to.
Couth.
But you're under no obligation to be couth. Now, what you do have to concern yourself with is whether those customers you have are going to continue spending money with you, or if you're going to offend them to the point that they won't.
True.
Or if your stockholders are going to
offend
them to
the point. Oh, yeah, so if you pull the Rush Limbaugh, it's kind of on your own head. You know,
and in Rush Limbaugh's case, he had enough of an audience that he's weathered this storm.
So,
but another host might not have been able to do that.
Exactly. Mark Bland couldn't do that, and I guarantee you, this guy with his three listeners,
totally
couldn't.
I'm up to at least 60.
I would hope that
I'm awesome.
Better numbers than that.
It's just a matter of getting my name out there.
I don't want to talk about this much. I'm just going to read the headline and let's comment on it. Texas hospital stops hiring overweight people.
Okay.
Do you think that's a good thing?
I have always looked at it this way.
Or are you going to, before we go any further, are you going to just take the company line of being conservative and go, their company, their playground, their rules?
I wasn't aware this was a company line, but I do think that
that's called a cliche. They call things like
I
that.
Do think that
company line.
When you are investing your money to hire people to do a job for you,
yes,
you should have every right to spend that money as you see fit.
Okay.
Now I know that
making a website up for revenge.
Wait. I know that legally, in terms of employment, you can't always do that, and there are some laws in place that I think are a little bit unfair in that regard. But nevertheless, you know, let's put it this way. Let's say you owned a Hooters restaurant.
Yes.
A fine eating establishment, right?
I'm sure you love it.
And some...
You guys on the conservative side, didn't get girls
and,
in the
and,
other way.
And some, let's just say, 300-pound, 38-year-old woman come in and want to be a waitress.
Palate fat.
Perhaps.
Gilbert grape
now,
fat.
Now, you would have a very difficult time hiring her, right?
You would have a very difficult time eating if she walked in the front door.
Exactly. And that's why you would have a very difficult time hiring her, because to hire her would be detrimental to your business.
I don't like fat people, and fat people with Doritos tacos in their hand are even worse.
Can we get a soundbite of that and just like replay it ever so often?
All right. Go on. Finish your thing up so we can move to these lettuce.
Well, the point is that you will sometimes be in situations where the people you hire may have an adverse effect on your business because of various attributes.
Fair enough.
And so you should have the right to hire or not hire on that basis.
Now, I know everyone who's been watching this show probably sees this like stupid smile smirk on my face, and you're probably sitting there thinking, this guy thinks he's better than everyone else. He's got such an ego and he's an arrogant prick. The truth is that I just need to smile because there's nothing else to do. If I just look all mean and crap the whole time, like, you guys would say something about that. So
you look like an 18-month-old who just filled his diaper.
Woo. Double chin. Oh, yeah. Okay. All right, yeah.
Hands off of this coiffed goat.
Live on my show. Here we go, ladies and gentlemen. It's time for letters to Mark.
Letters.
That's right. Letters to the show. I get letters each week. You mail theqcast at gmail.com. That's mail theqcast. Mail the Q Show at gmail.com. That's mail the Q Show at gmail.com. Or you can go to theqnow.com and you can go to our contact page and contact me directly that way. That's how a lot of them come through, too. Anyway,
one of those email addresses is bound to be right.
First one up. Mark, love the show, and I got my mom into listening to your show also. Well, thank you. I only have one question. Would you give your 16-year-old self advice? So you're assuming that I could go back in time. At my age, with what I know now, would I give my 16-year-old self advice? Yes, but I wouldn't give them total advice. And I'm not sure where you stand on that, but I would give them advice, you know, for certain potholes that I know that, you know, that
You don't want to change where you're from, because I'm not afraid or unhappy about anything that's happening in my life. I don't have any regrets whatsoever. So I would still want certain things to happen the way they did. But at the same point, there's a couple of things in there that really didn't affect my life great or negatively that I could have just done without. And just let them know about that. What about you? Would you tell
yourself? Yeah, I would, if I could go back and see 16-year-old Travis Cook once again. Mm-hmm. There is
don't
certainly
take too long to tell this story.
There is certainly advice that I would give him. Mm-hmm. I've always thought to myself, if I could be 16 again, knowing what I know now, my goodness, would I be dangerous?
Oh yeah.
So certain things about business that I've learned, certain things about the wrestling industry that I was in between 16 and now. Mm-hmm. Certainly, I would do some things slightly differently. I don't regret anything, but there's things I could have shorn up a little bit.
All right, let's move on. Mark, I know you talk a lot with a lot of people each week, and I think you are hit and miss with your advice, but that won't stop me from asking this question. Where do you stand on the courtesy flush in public restrooms? You know, I'm going to be really honest with you.
The courtesy flush.
If you're in a public restroom and you're going to be in there for a while, and it's one of those two-stall things where it's like the stall and then the stand-up urinal next to it, and this is if you're a guy. If you're a girl, obviously it's all stalls. But I'm a big fan of the courtesy flush there. I don't think you necessarily need the courtesy flush at your friend's house or at your own home or anything like that, even if you're having a party at your own place. I'm not a big fan of the courtesy flush there. But I would definitely say, depending on how long you're on there for, a courtesy flush might be needed. It really comes down to how bad it stinks. You know what I'm saying? What do you think?
Wow. Let me ask one question right out of the gate here. I want to make sure I'm clarifying the terminology here. In the modern lexicon, in the modern lingo, what exactly is a courtesy flush?
You know, it'd be like you do your first evacuation of, say, a number two or something like that. And then, you know, there's a lot in there. It's stinking up the place. Okay. And then somebody else is coming in, like a public place. Somebody comes in to use the restroom, maybe flushing it down so that it's not reeking in there. You know, that would be the
courtesy flush. In that case, I think courtesy flushes or flushes of any kind are good. Do them. Why in the hell are we talking about this?
All right, last one. Yo, Marky Mark, I am a female fan of the show, and I don't take anything you say seriously.
Well,
thank you very much. Appreciate that.
Intelligent woman.
I was recently talking to another person that knows your show, and they stated that you are married and talk about it on the show. Yes, I have talked about my wife and my two children. So on the other day, I was spying on another man's finger, wondering if he might be available, and was under the impression that he was until a few people mentioned to me that he was married, similar to your situation. So what's your take on wearing rings? Should married guys wear one? Why don't you wear one? Do you hate jewelry, or is it a countercultural statement? Well, let me knock these down in order, since this is more of a direct question for me and not the guy who can't pull anything at all.
I pull more than you want to know about.
So what's your take on wearing rings? I'm not a big fan of wearing rings personally. That's why I don't wear a ring. It's not a countercultural thing. It's not a I hate jewelry thing. Well, I guess it's kind of I just don't like rings. I don't mind jewelry. I don't wear chains and necklaces. I'm not like some slimy, sleazy individual from like upper New York, Brooklyn, who's just got like, you know, gold chains all draped around me, and we're gonna go catch up with Snooki at the club. It's not my thing. I do not wear a ring, as you can see. I am married. I've been happily married for almost 8 years this year, I think. 8 years this year. I think that guys should wear rings though. I really do. Like, even though I don't necessarily prescribe to it, I think that a guy should wear a ring in most cases, specifically in our friend Travis's case, because we want to make sure that the ladies know not to hit on him.
Why would they not want to hit on
we
him?
We don't want that happening again. Obviously,
why would we not want them to hit on him?
Evidently, if he's married, at least one girl made a huge mistake, and we don't want more mistakes we make. Okay.
I'm not looking for marriage,
but
I am a hell of a catch.
I think it just beats down any potential problems that could arise out of general nightclub, people drunk, and things get said or done that shouldn't be said or done. I think it beats down this. Now, I'm very happy in my marriage. My wife doesn't wear her ring necessarily for a different reason. I don't wear it because I just don't like wearing jewelry on my hands. I'm not a big jewelry finger guy, like I said. So, but we know we love each other, and we know that we're married, and we fully admit to anyone who asks that we're married. So that's kind of where I stand with that.
I would add this.
What would you add?
If,
time to get out.
If your spouse is going to cheat.
Yes.
If they're that type of person.
Yep.
There's no ring that's going to stop them.
That's true. He makes a good
point.
If
they're wearing a ring, if they ain't wearing a ring, if they're going to go, they're going to go.
Eating ain't cheating.
Advice for the love lord. What?
Eating ain't cheating.
Tell yourself that every time you go to the east side.
Sucking ain't. Never mind.
Oh, no, you didn't.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for us to get out of here on the queue. Of course, I want to thank Travis Cook. Thank you so much for being on the show tonight, sir.
It's a pleasure to save your show once again.
Don't forget, America's Evil Genius, find it on YouTube. You can watch the debates. We're releasing them. Also, don't forget, iWatchRadio.com. Now you can see what we are talking about. Every single show on there is a great show. You should go check it out. And that is the station that we are on every single week. iWatchRadio.com. Thank you so much for hosting my show. Also, don't forget to go to theQNow.com where you can find out a little bit about old shows, new shows, watch videos, bio on myself. We're probably going to get some links up for the stuff with him, as well as just things that are going on. I'm working on some giveaways, hopefully, for some tickets that are going on here in St. Louis, maybe on some bigger stuff nationally with some like chains and stuff. So here's, you know, go check out theQNow.com. That's where you need to be if you want to find out about the show and keep up to date on. Also, don't forget to follow us on Facebook. Check us out on Twitter. You can find all that information at theQNow.com. We have links to all of it. You can contact us. Ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it for this week's Q. My name is Mark Bland.
My name's Travis Cook, America's Evil Genius.
And we'll see you guys next time on the Q. It's the weekend with the DJ.